Let's keep on giving the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus. Because of you, I don't sacrifice anything anymore. My whole life is a sacrifice. You've taken my life. You have exchanged it for the blood of Jesus. Jesus paid and you bought me. Now I belong to you. My whole life is your sacrifice. My whole life is your sacrifice. Say, Lord, my whole life is your sacrifice. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for receiving me. Say, Lord, thank you for receiving me. Thank you for setting me free. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Say, Lord, thank you for setting me free. Say, thank you, Lord, for setting me free. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks for today. We have come in your presence. We have come to learn of you. We have come to know the truth that sets free. Lord, release it to us again this morning in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, I'll be speaking your word. Let me speak only your word in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, your people will be listening. Even I will be listening. Let the heart that understands be our portion this morning in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
For that reason, Lord, we declare these words. And this was we're about to declare, confirm them in our lives. Now everybody say after me, say, I am being filled with the knowledge of his will.
I am being filled with the knowledge of his will.
Say that like you are claiming, you are collecting something. Alright? Say, I am being filled with the knowledge of his will.
I am being filled with the knowledge of his will.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
Say, as a result of it, I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord.
I am pleasing him in all respects.
I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Say this morning again.
This morning again.
I incline my ears to his word.
The word is entering my heart.
It is giving me light and direction.
It is healing me in every area.
It's cleansing me in every area.
It's enabling me in every area.
It's strengthening me in every area. It's opening my eyes in every area.
It's cleansing my heart in every area.
And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Greet somebody beside you on your left and your right. Tell the person, good morning, you are very wise. Welcome to the table of God. Say you are very wise. Say wisdom is your portion. You have made the right choice again this morning. As you do that, please take your seat. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, so nice to see you all again this morning. And like we announced yesterday, we'll be answering questions because sometimes when you say some things, people misunderstand you. And I've learned not to leave confusion in the hearts of people. Sometimes we get emails. It's not every email you can answer. People, apparently, they've not been paying attention. One man came to our office one day because that day I was preaching on the will of God, the sayings of God. I said God wanted us to prosper. And I believe it. I believe it totally. And I've not changed my mind because it's based upon the word of God. At the end of the day, he came to see me. I gave him the respect for his age to talk to him. Normally, I don't talk to people who are coming to our place for the first time. Because you're going to be asking me questions that I've answered again and again. And that's exactly what happened that day. I didn't know the man was not a serious person, actually. He said he can perceive a disconnect. He's perceiving a disconnect. That's how his son does. The boy does not work. In my mind, that's your son's problem, not my own. That we preachers preach that God wants us to prosper. At that point in time, my wife came in to collect something from my office and went out again. So I told him, I said, that woman I just came in is my wife. I told him what I did, how much work I did, and what my wife does. I told him. And at the point in time, he told me that he's a lawyer. And I told him I'm a practicing pathologist. He almost fell down. I saw his face sag. Oh, because you saw me preaching. He thought like I've gathered people to be collecting their money. I said, this is your first time here? He said, yes. I said, those who you are seeing, they've been listening to me for a long time. They not only hear what I say, they see what I do. I said, if God didn't want us to prosper, why are we going out to work in the morning? I told him, in effect, oh boy, I didn't say oh boy like that. I mean, respect it, but in my heart, oh boy. Forget this side. If you want to follow God. Don't come and attack me. I still mean it. God wants us to prosper. You know, sometimes people don't understand what they are saying. They think when you say God wants us to prosper, it means God wants us to sit at home and do nothing and be prospering. No, God has given us the ability to bless people. And wake up in the morning, we go out to go and use that ability. That's a matter of fact. But the basis of prosperity is a foundation. He said like this, except the Lord builds a house, those who labor, they labor in what? Vain, in trying to build it. So if you build successfully, it's because the Lord built. So first thing, we look for God's blessing in all we want to do. No matter how much Adam knew how to walk, if the word didn't go forth that said, be fruitful and multiply, you would just be struggling for nothing. So we lay the foundation in our lives concerning what God has spoken. That just by the way. Like I said, people sometimes misunderstand you. Another time somebody asked me a funny question like that. The impression he had, I want to preach, very funny example I give. I said, look, why are you living for yourself? That's what I was preaching. That before you start asking God, give me a car, at least dash somebody a spare tire. Are you getting my point? It was just like a joke that, look, it should not be I must grab. Your prayer should be, let me be a blessing to people also. The man came at the end, he said, sir, what you are saying, if I need a car, I give out a spare tire. I said, God, have mercy on me. When did I say that? Another man came to me one day, he said, okay, he now understands. He thought I said Christians should not give. I said, me? I said Christians should not give. When did I say that? When I said, when God gave me the voice, I started speaking out loud and all of that. A lot of pastors got offended. Why did they get offended? Like the book I have there, Grace to Prosper, it caused trouble. One man wrote us a mail once. He said he didn't agree what I said in Grace to Prosper. I told my wife, I said, this guy is a pastor. Because if you've read the book Grace to Prosper, you will see there's nothing I said in there to disagree with. What was just offending him was that I kept on emphasizing that we don't prosper because of what we get, we give. The back of the book, it created a bit of confusion for people. I went step by step to show that there's nowhere that Christians were commanded to regularly collect their income, calculate 10%, and pay God off. I went through it step by step. It offended pastors. But somebody told one of our co-workers one that whoever is offended didn't read the book. Because if you read the book and imbibe the things inside, you'll be a great giver. People get confused. They don't listen to you. I went step and said, if you don't tithe, you will go to hell. I said, who said it? He says, the foundation is for prosperity. I said, Jesus didn't teach it. John did not teach it. Paul did not teach it. James did not teach it. Jude did not teach it. John didn't teach it. He said, even if it is true, like I said, why is it so important to us? All these people wrote letters to us. They spoke about money. They avoided the subject. Why? It's not important. James talked about giving when he was talking about faith that's alive. James talked about giving. Paul talked twice about giving. First letter, second letter. In the second letter, he took two chapters to talk about giving. And funny enough, he omitted that subject. Why? I'll tell you, because they did not know the things we are preaching today. It was not their doctrine. So these are our doctrines and not Christian doctrines. Because the foundation of Christianity, the apostles and prophets that laid the foundation didn't lay those foundations. I said some of those things, so people say, he said Christians should not give. How will church get money? How have we been getting money? We run a ministry. By Monday, we'll be on our, 12th or 13th radio station in Nigeria. Not in fact, right now, because we paid them already. Monday just the first day they are going to air our first episode. All across the south. That's our stretch to western Nigeria. We have gone as far as Akure. Now we have pushed to Ibadan. Down to Port Harcourt, Calabar, we are there. Not to talk about, of course, you know, Blaze FM, this and that. Okay, of course. Enugu. All over these places, Benin. And we went up north. We are as far as Nasarawa, Bida, Benue. All those areas covered. None of them do they give us for free. How do we get the money? Many of us here, you watched on the Omega channel. It's not free. There is none of these stations we watch. Omega being a TV station, satellite TV. We pay every single one of them. This program is not free. This hall didn't just, the hotel didn't say, come and take hall, come and take rooms. Faithful children of God brought out their money to make these things happen. Why? Because they have the liberty of the Spirit to give. They're not under compulsion. Your money goes to where your love is. That is a matter of fact. Your money goes to where your love is. And that's what I try to teach to Christians sometimes. But many people don't have the confidence to know that God can move people to give. They don't know that God can solve problems without our trying to manipulate things. They just don't have that confidence, so they attack me. Somebody, many of you have heard me teach. I actually heard somebody say that he heard I teach heresy. What is heresy? That I say Jesus is Lord. That he's the judge of the living and the dead. That he prospers people because he died for them. What is heresy? That I say they are seated with Christ Jesus, far above principalities and powers. That they don't need to pray against witches. That witches are afraid of them. God asked Satan, he said, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan said, that guy's area is dreadful. We avoid this area. It was when God withdrew the defense around Job that Satan was able to go in. And we are saying that we are surrounded with a hedge like Job was surrounded. That is what we preach. Why should that offend anybody? I'll tell you. Because when you hear that, if you make money from the wrong doctrine, what's the name of our guy in the book of Acts? In Ephesus? No. That's easy. In that book of Ephesus, the guy that called a conference of the idol makers said, our money comes from this business. So Paul has come to spoil it. That's why people get offended. Otherwise, why should you get offended that somebody is teaching you about the liberty that is in Christ Jesus? One young man, maybe he's here this morning too, saw me yesterday, says, sir, when I met you, after listening to you, I realized that this Christianity is not hard. Yeah. Is that not the word of Jesus? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yeah. If you really love righteousness, Christianity is not hard. It can only be hard for those who don't love righteousness. If you love righteousness and it is burdensome, you are obeying a commandment Jesus didn't give you. You are obeying a commandment Jesus did not give you. If Christianity is burdensome to you, you are obeying a commandment the Lord did not give. A doctrine came out in Nigeria a few years ago. They said the whole of your January salary belongs to Christ, belongs to your church. And I said, where did they get it from? They said, it's the principle of first fruits. I said, that's fraud. That's using the word of God to commit fraud. Jesus never said it. Paul never said it. It's nowhere in your Bible. He says, your first income. I said, first fruit is your first giving. It's not your first income. It's your first offering. So you can earn a million. The 1,000 naira on top of it is your first fruit. And it's not even commanded for Christians. Because that first fruit, the old covenant, was a type of the Lord Jesus. Nigerians say, is the whole general. Okay, so the businessman in Onitsha market, what's his first fruit? The laborer who gets paid on a daily basis, what's his first fruit? Why do you want to harass those who earn their salaries once a month? Because if you're saying first, then the laborer's own is January 2nd wage, because January 1st is on holiday. January 2nd, he goes to carry, goes to serve mason. and they give him 2,000 naira at the end of the day. He goes to church, here's my first fruit. Then it takes 29 days, pockets it. Then you that work for federal government, they say, no, it's your general salary. Come on, why are we making a fool of ourselves? Why do we make a fool of ourselves? Because we just need more income. Like I always tell pastors, if you need more income, come to church and say, brethren, we need more income. I was a campus fellowship president. That's what I used to do. For 8 years, until this last year, I was that same campus fellowship, the alumni fellowship, I was president for 8 years. That's what I used to do. I come and tell my brethren, I say, come on, you guys, I don't understand your giving these days. With all these fine cars, you guys are coming for convention. And my bill is short by 2 million naira for what? That's all I ever tell them. Brethren, God has blessed you. Go and settle my bills. Because our convention is totally free. We have hundreds of people coming. We use the biggest hotel in Benin City. Accommodation is free. Feeding is free. You just walk in, of course, for members and their guests. Sometimes members can bring guests. You walk in, you fill your name. We look at you. If you're alone, you're a man, we'll give you a room, share with another man. This is not America. We're not afraid. You get my point. But if you're married, we'll give you a room. A very fine hotel. We'll give you a room, you and your wife. If you have a child or two with you, you manage one room. But sometimes when your family is large, we look for another room. There are suites in the place, small bungalows like this suite. We give to some people. And we don't charge anybody a dime. By the time the convention is over, we write a check for 7 million naira for the hotel. 5 million naira for the hotel. Depending on the amount of people that came. And how does the money come? It's simple. Brethren, give generously. Now, I was telling you guys that time, when you get there, that one of the people that give the heaviest amount of money, you see the person there helping people carry their bag, you know, checking people in. You won't know that this guy dropped heavy paper for this convention. He doesn't preach. Nobody gives him a microphone. One of those days, I got up and I spoke with my brother like that because our chief accounting officer, he came and said, how are we doing financially? He said, not very good, sir. I said, what's the issue? He said, we are short by 2 million naira. I said, no problem. I was the president. I walked in. I said, brethren, excuse me. I didn't tell them we were short by 2 million. I didn't tell them. I just said, many people here are not giving the way God has blessed them. What's all of this nonsense? Please, God has blessed you. Do according to your level. Next, we finish that night. We finish maybe around 12. Well, we'll stay till late, maybe 3 a.m. So early in the morning next day, I saw our financial guy. He was going around. And I said, okay, oh boy, Hafa, that there's a money I'm supposed to transfer to you. I'll try. He said, no, sir, don't worry. You can do that anytime. I said, what's going on? She said, we needed money now. I said, no, that one has been covered. I said, what happened? He said, yes, when he finished speaking, he mentioned one brother's name, that the guy came out, brought out his phone, wired 1 million naira, put his phone back, and went back into the hall. I said, good. So another person came, dropped money. He said, if people have dropped money, he said, 2 million naira is blocked. I said, I said, anyway, I'll just transfer, because that one I was supposed to transfer to him was my own. I also give, all of us give. So I was playing my own in beats from before the convention that you'll be playing. So the last batch, I had not paid it by the time the convention started. So I said, look, as soon as I get back home, I will transfer that last bit of it. He said, take your time. Everything has been covered. And I didn't promise anybody anything. I just demanded of my brethren that God has blessed you. Do according to your blessing. Don't insult yourself and insult God. Contentment, I have a good friend, he said, contentment is knowing your place in life and living like you are there. So, if you are earning 10,000 naira a month, don't even be, believing God for a phone of 100,000 naira. God doesn't like that rubbish prayer. I'm paying you 10,000 naira a month, you are believing me for a phone of 100. So if I give it to you, you'll use it. If they give you that kind of phone, you go to church, put it in an offering basket, label it, deliverance. Deliverance seed. Are you getting my point? The seed for deliverance. What are you delivering yourself from headache? When the phone falls now, you'll be crying. They won't know why you are crying. No, they are pressed. You shouldn't pray. You shouldn't pray some prayers. You just pray that, Lord, lift me up. There are some things that come at the appropriate time. Say, Lord, lift me up. Lift me up. Lift me up in the name of Jesus. That's all. I think people just dash you. Somebody, you look at your salary, 25,000 naira a month, and somebody comes and gives you a Rolex, and you put it on your wrist. You should just wrap it. Next Sunday, say Thanksgiving. God of miracle. Now my papa is able to take your wahala. I don't want it. They'll be looking like, when they see the offering basket, oh, praise God. Somebody gave us a watch, 2 million naira, you know, Thanksgiving offering. And they're eyeing all the millionaires in church. They won't know you are the one saying, God, though. When I asked for blessing, I didn't ask for trouble. Are you getting my point? The blessing of God makes rich and doesn't add what? Sorrow. This one has sorrow. I don't want it. I cast it away. Deliverance. I'm telling you the truth. All I'm saying, listen. I told my brethren, listen, when God has lifted you to a level, however, don't forget that. God will lift you to a level. Don't also behave as if he has not lifted you. God has blessed you heavily. And how you know God has blessed you is not how much money you have, but what you have the ability to give. Yeah, that's how you know. It's not what you have. If you have 10 billion naira in your account, but when you come to church, you're still dropping 200 naira in offering basket, you are not blessed. Material blessing is not the blessing. It's the spiritual thing that is a blessing. But when God has blessed you, you can afford it and you can give. And then you don't go and use a phone that you do your eye like this. Use a magnifying glass to see what is written on the screen. Bring out your money. Buy yourself a decent device because you can afford it. That's called contentment. Knowing your place in life and living like you are there. You are building one house in Abuja, one in your village. They are still helping you push your car to start. You should know you have a spiritual problem. You should know. When they say, those who want to give their life to Christ, go forward. I'm talking about contentment. In Christianity, we are not saying that we are so humble, we only use dirty things. No. It means we don't worry ourselves. If financially we are still low, we live gently. But when God leads us financially, we also live like that. It's called being able to manage both circumstances. It's called contentment. So when people are giving also, I told my brother that time, I said, give like God has blessed you. There was a time I wrote them a mail. I called it the 100,000 limit. I said, many of us were students. When giving an offering of 500 naira was big. But in that process, we have all increased. Then we give an offering for our convention. It's a yearly thing anyway. We give for a year's budget. So you give 100,000, it looks big. Is 100,000 big? I say, yeah, most certainly it is big. Very, very big. I said, but it is not necessarily big if you check your level. I said, many of you, God has blessed you, but you are still seeing 100,000 as big money. I began to tell them things. So one day... One of our brothers sent some. We pay our bills. We normally pay. So one of our brothers sent some money. So the person who was the secretary at that time called me and said, "Ah, this person sent this amount of money," and I was angry. I said, "A man who's buying a house abroad is sending me 100,000 naira. Is he stupid? As an offering for our, it's not my me money now. It's for our body." So I called his friend. I said, "What rubbish is this?" His friend said, "Sir, please, can I confess something?" I said, "What?" He said, "Me, I also gave 100,000 naira." I said, "Now hang the phone, go to the bank." He said, "Sorry, sir." He hung the phone. Quickly went and transferred the balance. "Have you repented?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Good. The Lord forgive you." Until I wrote that mail, a lot of people didn't realize they were falling for this thing. You give 100,000, and it's big actually. But for their level, some of those people could give us 1 million, they could give us 2. So I told them, brethren, that is how Christians behave. That's why when you come, if you see, it's not just because we're in Accra, this is how we do our programs. You come to Enugu, we don't push anybody for money. Why? Now, listen to me. These are the things I preach. Some people were angry. Because when I preach, Christians are liberated. And some pastors feel like you need to put them under bondage, make them afraid. A good Christian comes to church with his tithe, with his check. Why should you come to church with your check? Are you going to buy something there? It's an offering. It, look, you give as you purpose in your heart. It's not a problem. It's our church. I know the way back if I have to go home and bring it. It's not a sign of my good Christianity. The one I'm going to, what I'm thinking is money. No. If I get to church, I see a legitimate need, I didn't come, I will go back home now. Have you? Look, you know, listen, I'm not trying to say something here. These are the things I was preaching, people were telling me that, and believe me, I had attacks. So I don't mean spiritual attacks, verbal attack. If you attack me spiritually, it's your problem. I won't even pray about you. When I want to sleep, I sleep. After I finished our business with the witches yesterday, I went to my room. I left the window open because my AC was not working. I didn't say, one witch, pass through this window. Pass through it first. Just come, pass through it. If you can land inside, you're not a witch. Or on the window, you gave your life to Christ. You did. You did. The story was told of this Smith Wigglesworth, whose spirit appeared to him. No, just heard noise inside a sitting room. He came out, saw. It was the devil. He looked at the devil. He went back to sleep. He said, I thought it was something that needed my attention. That if it was a rat, I would have chased the rat. Is the devil? No, I'm going back to sleep. Another one I heard was one man went to preach in one of these southern American places. The law of witchcraft. So the hut where he was, saw everything shaking, bed moving. He came out. Of course, the spirits had come to disturb him, to scare him. He looks everything quiet. So he perceived that the spirit wanted to run away. He told the spirit, come back. Put this bed where you met it. Arrange everything back to where it was before you came here. And he went back to sleep. The house continued shaking and everything rearranged back. Then the spirit disappeared. He said, I beg that wicked soul. That is the Christianity I preach you. The Christianity that I don't cover my road by the blood of Jesus. God forbid, but how can you be pouring such a precious thing on the road? I cover my heart with the blood of Jesus. People will come and say, Holy Ghost fire against my enemy. All my trouble, Holy Ghost fire. I say, what kind of trouble is that? If my enemy gets Holy Ghost fire, he gets anointed. Because what the Holy Ghost fire does is to anoint people. So this is how we do it in Enugu. We say, upon my head, Holy Ghost fire. In my life, Holy Ghost fire. On my children, Holy Ghost fire. My work, Holy Ghost fire. My ministry, Holy Ghost fire. My pocket, Holy Ghost fire. And this Holy Spirit anoint everywhere for effect. As of my enemies, collect all the fire on their heads. Holy Ghost water. Holy Ghost water. You don't need the fire. I'm the one that needs the fire of the Holy Spirit. What fell on the day of Pentecost? Is it not fire? Did the fire fall on the Pharisees? No. On the Roman soldiers? Where did it fall? On those who were in the upper room waiting, 120 of them. And when he entered them, they began to speak with other tongues and they were prophesying. That is what we preach. That is the Christianity that Jesus came to deliver to us. I hope you're getting my point. And that's what we hope to leave the spirit of it behind in all kinds of these 2 days that we are teaching the word of God. And that's why we say, please, if there's anything we say, all right, that's confusing, and you need clarification, we understand that in just a few hours, please ask the question, write it down. Okay? After this first session, when I finish teaching this morning, we'll now go and start answering them. Because sometimes people actually, you can't just appear from Enugu, carry some men with you, show up. And some women too say, all of you come from Enugu, show up, want to tell us everything we knew was not true. And they just will let you just go like that. No, now we'll block the road. You're not going anywhere until you explain everything. Until you show us from scriptures. Because you see, as I'm talking, I just keep quoting the scriptures off the cuff because there's no time to do a systematic study. We don't have so much time. Now, this morning, let's continue what where we ended yesterday. And I want us to read 2 portions of the scriptures. Actually, the ones we ended with yesterday. I'm going to read John chapter 3 again. And then we'll read Romans chapter 1. Let's read out John chapter 3. Now, this is what the Lord did for us, what God did for us through the Son Jesus, who has made the Most High God over all creation. Now, let me just say this before we read. Anything God ever thought of, he summarized in the person Jesus. Or let me put it like this, summarizing the person of Christ Jesus. If God wanted to deliver somebody, hey, this man is going to die, or he's sick, his liver is failing. And it's year 2017. No, October 2017. Then the Lord sees ahead, all right? Let's just say 3,000 years ago. And say October 2017, this man will die for his sins. He will die because people brought up accusation against him. He will die because people spoke before the judgment throne of God and a disease was released because of his iniquity, which began from generations before that, which he has connected with, and he will die. And his wife will be heartbroken because he will be 43, 44. He will have about 4 children by that time. His wife will just be about 40 years old, 30-something years old. His children all young. They will all be heartbroken. By that time, one of those children, all right, will have cried to God for compassion. So God sees all of these things ahead. So what do? We need to deliver him. We need to deliver him from death. So he will write a deliverance. Because for us to deliver him, there has to be forgiveness of his sins. There must be a covering, an atonement. Compassion must be shown to him. But there's nothing that's spiritual that is free. There's nothing in this life that is free. This oxygen is not free. Somebody paid for it. So that man's deliverance definitely is also not free. So God says, who will pay for it? Who will make this deliverance effective? So first thing, he will write the deliverance. Mr. ABC will be delivered October 2017. He will have died, but will not die. We will start working out salvation for him from May. Healing will come to him perfection in October. Instead of death, he will have life. All of that thing, he will write it down and he will keep it somewhere. That thing he puts inside the person called Jesus. That deliverance plan is inside Jesus Christ. So you will read these things as prophecies in the Word of God. But actually, it's the deliverance plan of God. So, what am I going to say? So, if that man wants healing, he goes to Christ and says, where is my healing here? Where is it kept? What makes healing, deliverance from death his own, is because Jesus paid for it. I hope you're getting my point here. It's not because of any other thing than Jesus paid for it. Every destruction will have come into, the salvation from those things, Jesus paid for them. That's why the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever believes in him will not what? Perish. Instead of suffering death, destruction, instead of perishing, eternal life is given to him. That's the meaning of that scripture. That's what it means. So when we are reading the Word of God, let's understand. Jesus is not Muhammad. He's not Krishna. He's not a founder of a religion. Please, let's get this point. Let me say it like this. The doctors come to find, they found a religion on the earth. Doctors. A teaching hospital opens. He said, everybody who goes there is not a teaching hospitalian. Or a hospitian, have you? No, you have Christian. Because you went to a church, a hospital. I don't know whether you're connecting my point. Did the hospitals come to start a religion? No. But many of us practice their religion, we don't realize it. They say, don't eat this, we don't eat that. Are you getting what I'm saying? They say, jog. We'll be running around like Satan. Because somebody said, do it. There are all kinds of things they said don't do, and we don't do. Some of them are actually good for us, but we said no, we won't do it. Why? The doctor said don't do it. For a long time, they said, if your food contains cholesterol, you know that joke? I didn't believe it for one day. I'm so proud of myself. Because last year, or early this year, they said, sorry, for 30 years we made a mistake. Now, I'm bringing out something here. You see, Jesus is like that too, in quotes. Now, please, I'm trying to explain something. He didn't come to say, oh, this is a religion. No, he said, I have come to solve problems. Let me give an example. Doctors have done some very good things that this medical system of today. For example, they effectively, God gave them that wisdom. They eradicate polio. And how do they do it? It is simple. Polio virus, I have some knowledge, so let me just share this with you. Polio virus is one of those very, in quote now, good viruses, unlike HIV and flu. You know this ordinary flu virus? It's a very wicked virus in that it changes every season. Every season, it comes back wearing a different cloth. That's how come the human body can't tackle it. Anytime it arises, your body starts again. Otherwise, the way viruses are, you get it this year, you should be immune, at least for the next many years. But for flu, it doesn't happen. You get it this year, next year you can get it again. So in fact, some people get it every year. It's my flu season. Flu is coming. But polio is very, very interesting. It doesn't change. It's like smallpox, like measles, like chicken pox. They don't change. The polio virus of 50 years ago is the same one today. So God gave doctors the wisdom, researchers. They said, okay, how can we prevent polio? Because you can't get it twice. So we give it to small children in a small dose. We make sure the virus cannot cripple them. And it works. So every little child now, before there was injection, but many years ago, the one that works by mouth was developed. And then, now, I'm saying something here. What do you now see? Polio vaccine worker, health workers, they go from house to house, school to school. Everywhere, young boy, young girl, they employ them for 3 months, train them. They say, okay, we want the whole of Anambra covered. They will map it, make sure every house, any child there gets 2 drops in the mouth. Just get there, open your mouth, ta-ta-ta, they drop it. That's all. Open your mouth, they keep on going. Why? They know it's the solution. And guess what? It works. In the whole world right now, only 3 countries still have polio. You know the countries? Nigeria, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. All of them Islamic enclaves. In Nigeria, it was only a part of the north. I don't know whether it was Kano, 1 or 2 states in the north. Why? Because the polio workers couldn't get into the harems. They would get there, bashiga. No entry. So the children, they won't get their dose. And you know the truth? They don't give up. They will go to the, good enough, the emir they have in Kano now. Doesn't understand all this, your bashiga. He will break your door down and send them inside. That man, Sanusi, he doesn't understand all this Islamic fundamentalism. The man doesn't get it. So they will go and meet the emir, please, sir. Help us. He will call the imams. He will talk to them. Go to your mosque. Preach it. Okay, you don't want them to enter your homes. Bring the children out. So some people now spread the lie that it's a CIA that wants to sterilize their children. So they started killing these polio workers in places like Pakistan. But guess what? They will return again. They will even go to the Taliban chiefs and explain to them. All right, our workers will take it while you watch. The same one we are giving our workers is the one, okay, you. Do you want to give them yourself? No, they were willing to do all of these things. Just to make sure every child gets, because they know that once we give it to all children worldwide, after one generation, polio will disappear from the surface of the earth. And they've done it before. They did it with smallpox. Smallpox vanished from the surface of the earth. Now, are you seeing what I'm trying to say here? So, when you see the workers going from one place to the other, are they trying to start a religion? What are they doing? They are solving a problem. Jesus is like that too. He's not a religion. He's a solution. Why we go around preaching? It's because we are like polio workers, that's health workers, trying to eradicate polio. So sometimes you kill us. We retreat. We go and pray. Then we send new workers. Why? So that whosoever believes will not perish. Polio workers have been killed, just like Christian missionaries have been killed. But the drive to eradicate polio has not stopped. It hasn't stopped. One of the reasons why they would not even let it stop is that with immigration, the American cannot say, I don't care, it's Afghanistan. He knows that one day, a man will fly from Afghanistan and land in the United States in 2 to 3 hours. He knows. He knows in a few hours, the man will land. And when he lands, if his children did not get polio those days, vaccine, he may bring it into America. But because before this immigration thing, Europe has stopped vaccinating for polio in some areas. They say it was no longer necessary because they had wiped it out entirely. They had to start again because of immigration. People who come from Pakistan, from Nigeria. You know what I'm going to explain? That's why we Christians cannot say, everybody run away from the north because they are killing Christians. We can't. Because if we come to the south, the evil that Jesus came to die to stop, we breed there. And one day the evil will fly down and arrive in Oka. And you say, where is this trouble coming from? God said, I gave you solution to spiritual problems, social problems. You did not even have the dedication that the health worker had to eradicate polio. You were looking for where to hide. So that just like that polio, it's bred somewhere and it has come to meet you where you are hiding. What am I explaining? So you see, Jesus is not a religion. He's a solution. So if you go to a home, this man has divorced his second wife. He and the third wife, they started their boxing matches. You're not supposed to go there and be teaching him, be kind to your wife. It's not necessary. Hey, family trouble, not good though. Believe me, he knows. He knows, but he can't stop. So when you enter that home, say, I have come to give you the vaccine against your marital trouble. What is the vaccine? His name is Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whosoever believes in him will stop killing his wife. Whosoever believes in him will stop having family troubles. Whosoever believes in him will stop blaming his neighbor. There are people that indeed, not a joke, they can never prosper in life. Generational curse, like you talk about, it's not a lie. These are real curses. There are villages that God looked and said, this village, no good thing will ever come out from there. So every child born there, poverty was, as they're delivering him, angel will say, give me the stamp. They give the stamp. Boom, poverty. They stamp it on his head. It sounds like a joke, but go and read it. When God spoke against Cain, he put a mark on his head. So spiritually, you see the mark on that fellow's head. He tries to start business. It is the day he hires a shop. They will give him a shop near River Benue. He will borrow from the bank. Stock the shop with goods worth 10 million naira of his fast-selling commodity. The day he stocks his shop, River Benue will open, flood the whole place, and destroy his goods. And you know these banks? Many of them are of the devil. They don't understand that it's River Benue's fault. They say, the collateral you gave us, which is your house you struggled to build after 15 years of hard labor, they will collect it. The shop is gone, the house is gone. You say, why? It's because spiritually he has a stamp on his head that says he must never prosper. He's come from that place. Yes, that's a matter of fact. What I've told is not a joke. That's why some people who are teaching deliverance, they don't know the whole truth. So half of the things they tell you actually is correct. It's the second half that we have a problem with. You'll see the second half in a moment. Now, please, I hope you're getting my point here. It happens. But God, looking at that, and in case you don't know it, let me just drop this for you quickly. That is the reason why of all the nations of this earth, the black nations are usually the poorest as a group. That's why there is not one single African country that is black that's called a developed country. Not one. The closest to development is South Africa. And that's not a black country, you know now. It was developed by the whites. 4 years after the blacks took over. No, 4 years after Thabo Mbeki took over as president, they began to have power failure. It's a black thing. We suck away the light. Just suck the light. There's a spiritual reason. I won't discuss. I don't have the time now. I won't discuss. But this is spiritual reason. There is a spiritual reason. So Jesus looked at that. No, God looked at that and said, we have to end this. This is not right. This is not good. This is not right. This is not good. How do we end it? We will forgive their sins. We wipe out the curse that's upon their heads. You're getting the point. We forgive their sins, wipe out the curse that's upon their heads. And how will we do that? Who will pay for it? So he writes that plan and hides it somewhere inside his book. And he says, if you can open this book and read it, it becomes yours. But who's going to pay for the book? He says, all right, I will send my only begotten son. So he sent Jesus. So when we're talking about Jesus, we're not just starting the religion. We're telling people, this is the way we wipe out that spiritual mark that says poverty forever. This is the way we eradicate the troubles that keeps a man, a woman under. There are families that nobody who marries is still with his wife at the age of 50. People say, if you now go to the village, we don't need to go to the village. Each one of them, they just need to believe the solution of Jesus. So we'll go there and say, open your mouth, say after me, you know, polio people will drop two in the mouth of the children. Who will say, open your mouth, say, Jesus is Lord. I give my life to Christ. Bam! That breaks the curse. It's automatic. It's not a special prayer. They've, by that, passed out of death. They've passed into what? Life. By that, they've passed out of death into life. Once I'm trying to explain that Jesus is the antidote. It's not a religion. So, you know, that's why, you know, preaching as if it's a join our church thing. No, it's, get my point. It's like, look, there is a solution. Every problem in life is fundamentally spiritual. The solution, therefore, is fundamentally spiritual. And the solution is called Christ Jesus. So when we preach to people and preach Christ, we are not preaching our religion, we are preaching their solution. I don't know what I got, I said. We are not preaching our religion. We are preaching the solution they need. There's no religion on this earth, none, that promises salvation. There's none. The day I heard the analysis of even Islam, that such that has over 1 billion followers, I was surprised to find that there's no promise of salvation. There is attempt to salvation. There's book. I mean, you write your book, fill it up with your good works. On the last day, they will try. They will check it and see how much you tried, whether it worked. One man was analyzing that. That's why a lot of them agreed to be suicide bombers. Because it is written and taught that that is the only condition in which your salvation is automatic. If you die in the course of spreading Islam. So, look, listen. Now, why would somebody put a bomb to his body and kill himself? Let me give you the answer. He's looking for salvation. He's looking for salvation. The only salvation, actually, first, the only, in quote, religion now that promises salvation is Christianity. That is the only one that says, just maintain your faith in Christ and you are automatically saved. It's only Christianity. And the reason is because Jesus actually paid the price. He died for other people's sin. Every other person, Buddha, Muhammad, Krishna, Guru Maharaj, T.B. Joshua, they all died or will die for their own sin. They can't help anybody. Look, if you're a sinner, your death can only be for yourself. So, no matter who you want to follow, they can't help you. The only person that can help is Christ Jesus. Why? He's the one that actually was able to die because he was a sinless Lamb of God. He could die for other people's sins. So the job of people like me and my co-workers that we have come here, all right, this time, is just to point people to Jesus, not to us. No, it's just to point people to Jesus. Say, look, in Christ Jesus is your solution. So anytime I'm speaking, the commandment of God upon my life is I must always lift Jesus up. And remove anything that looks like it's taken away from Christ. I must always help people to look at that Lamb of God, the sinless Lamb of God that was sacrificed for them. The more they see him, the more they are saved. The more they see Jesus clearly, the more solution comes into their lives. There is no, listen, let me tell you the truth. There's no salvation anywhere. You know what they call it? Anywhere? Anywhere. So people say, this country is too rough. I am going to America. When you are cursed, you know what happened? You will land in America, finally buy a house in Texas. 1 month, maybe you buy it in August, and they say, I don't make them, praise God. You now build, you work hard, you build two. You buy another one, you rent one out. They now say that, are you getting home insurance? You say, no need now, this is Texas. 85% of the homes in Texas don't have insurance against flood. And you just do like your neighbor. Say, why will I waste the money to be paying insurance company? I need to send money home. You finally said to yourself, end of July, early August, second week of August, you see warning. Say, one of your guys, Harvey, is coming from the Pacific. He said, who, Menini Harvey, who's Harvey? Say, one of your friends, who's Harvey? What's your brother? Harvey, you go and Google up, you see the satellite images of Harvey, and you look at it like this, Drown your two homes. Then now you are broke again because part of the money you borrowed from the bank. And the bank, I told you, banks, they work for Satan a lot of times. They don't understand that it's flood that took my house. So where were you when your neighbors were collecting flood insurance? So the poverty you ran away from is waiting for you there. Running does not deliver anybody from poverty. That's what I'm going to explain. If you want to be delivered from poverty, listen, in the context of what I'm preaching this morning, you just dive into Christ. You dive into Christ. You dive into Christ. Listen, I was born in Ondo State, raised up there. Went to university in Edo State, served in Taraba State, went to Lagos to do my postgraduate. When I told people I was moving to Enugu, and like they said, money is in Lagos, I started laughing. I said, money is not in Lagos. Prosperity is in Christ Jesus. The word of God that was with me then was from Isaiah 66 verse 12. It said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. As anywhere I go, God will bless me there. I didn't have any problem moving from Lagos and coming to Enugu. If you go to America, you'll prosper. I don't believe a word of it. If I really want to prosper, I will pray to God. If I want money, I will ask him. The only thing he asks me is that sometimes I have to defend what I'm asking for. Say, why are you looking for so much money? Like, I don't ask him for plenty. Personally, I don't. Why? Because I'm a preacher. There's nothing I'm doing with it. I'm not building cement factories. I'm not building a refinery in Ekpe. My name is not Dangote. I'm not innocent. I'm not building car factory. Is it bad? No. It's their ministry. They are doing their job. There's one man, what's the name of this Econet guy? Strive Masiyiwa. Strive Masiyiwa prayed. And by prayer and confession of the word of God and tapping into the spiritual resources of Christ, he raised $1.5 billion. That's what he wrote. That people don't know what Christ is. When he needs money, he goes into his closet and commands resources to come. And $1.5 billion showed up. Why? He said he needed to take control of Econet. And God knew why he needed to. So the Lord raised for him $1.5 billion. Believe me, I can do that too, except that I don't control Econet. Kingdom World Ministries does not need that amount to be taken over. No. But for what we do, we keep on prophesying the word of God, and it keeps growing. And it keeps growing. And God sends resources, and it keeps growing. Now, what am I going to say? So, solution to poverty problem is not hard work. It's not village deliverance. It's faith in Christ Jesus. One of the things I believe very strongly is that if we preach the truth, and I want you to be praying for the Church of Christ. Pray for your church. Pray for the Church of Christ in Nigeria. I hope you know, Islam is not our problem. No. God doesn't even, sometimes you pray in the Bible and God doesn't even understand, what is that a problem? It's not a problem. Because if you want me to convert the Sultan, it's not a problem. I'll go to his house, knock on the door, give your life to Christ. The guy will kneel down and give his life to Christ, sharp, sharp. Because when you see spiritual things, then your eye go clear. Oh, yes. In fact, you know what the Lord is saying? Many of you don't even know the number of people, prominent Muslims, that are currently Christians, Nicodemusly. They just can't announce it. There are two prominent Nigerians, which because we are here and we are recording, I can't tell you their names. That the evidence is that those guys have given their lives to Christ. But they can't say it openly. As soon as I don't ask me, I'll tell you their names. I don't mean those of you. I pointed out to Kemute here. Don't come and queue up and be asking me questions. Prominent. People who at night, everybody, during the day, everybody sees them, they are Muslims. At night, they kneel down and say, Jesus, not vex, so I beg. We are still looking for grace to announce you openly. Just help us for now. Remember this Naaman? Remember Naaman? After Elisha finished with Naaman, go and dip in the Jordan 7 times. Naaman came back. Ah, Oga, your God is the only God. He said, Bossa, please, you know my Oga goes to the temple of Dagon. And I'm his chief of staff. So if you ever see me, if they tell you they saw Naaman is the temple of Dagon, please, sir, it's not me. I just escorted the king. No, that's what I'm going to read. That's what I'm going to tell Elisha. He said, the king leans on me. So when we are going there, he said, hold my hand. I can't say, my lord, the king, I'm not going. He said, well, trust me, I am not bowing to that God. If you see my body bow, my heart is standing straight. There are many Christians like that today. And they are prominent in this our country. And you and I think they are Muslims. But the feeders we get say, no, things are not the way people think they are. What I'm trying to say, God says Islam is not my problem. There's a book, if you can lay your hands on it, I forgot the name of the author, it's titled Dreams and Visions. You see how God converts in the heart of Islam. There's one I knew, the story, authentic story, of a man that, you know, King Fahd of Saudi. His family, one of the princes, okay? He gave his life to Christ because a Nigerian doctor went to work in Saudi. Because sometimes, I mean, we are men, we are human beings. Sometimes there are people you love. One of the wives that he loved dearly was sick unto death. And there's nothing they could do. They had the best hospitals, the best doctors, everything. So the doctor just asked, if you guys don't mind, I know it's against your rules, but can I pray for this, your person? And he said, if that's what will save the fellow, why not? So this doctor prayed, and the woman got well, and the whole family converted. Except that nobody knows. See them wearing their robe, going up and down. You won't know that this whole family, at night when they don't close their door, say, Jesus, I beg, no vex. When we emigrate, we'll let them know. Yes. I told you the story of the man who is a Christian in Egypt. And Egypt is said to be the intellectual capital of Islam. It's the intellectual capital of Islam, Egypt. One day he was sleeping, a preacher. There are a lot of Christians in Egypt, so their one is even easier. 15% about... Is it 5 or 15% of them are Coptic Christians? So one night he was sleeping. Next thing, somebody woke him up. The man had a gun to his head. Get up. Make a long story short, he has been kidnapped by an Islamic fundamentalist. So he told himself, my life is over. The man kidnapped him. They jumped through walls, jumped fence. After a while, he blindfolded him. Follow me. He dragged him with a gun. Finally, they entered a hall, like a warehouse. The doors, as soon as they entered, they closed the doors, locked everything. They opened it, they removed the blindfold from his eyes so that he won't know where they are. So finally the man with the gun said, please, I'm very sorry, sir. That's the only way I could do this thing. He opened his eyes and he saw Islamic clerics seated, waiting for him. And they said, please, nobody can know this. We have been instructed to listen to you. Why? Jesus had paid each one of them visits in his dreams. And said, you will go and listen to my son, what he has to tell you. So they had all gathered. I said, how do we listen to this guy? Go and kidnap him. So they sat down and he began to instruct them in the way of the Lord Jesus. They all gave their lives to Christ. All of them. But nobody knows. So don't have the impression for a moment that Jesus is afraid of anybody. If he wants, he will wake Muhammad up, get up, bow. Look, I hope you know the Jesus we are dealing with. Let me tell you who Jesus is. I tell people all this motivational speaking. It's when Jesus has not spoken to you that you need to be motivated. Listen, now I'm telling you. You know when Lazarus died? I hope you know they were motivating him to get up. You don't know? When Lazarus died, they were motivating him to get up. How do I know? I'll tell you. The only man in a family. You know, Lazarus was the only person. Mary and Martha. So he was technically their husband. He's their brother, but are you getting my point? In their society. He was their man. We don't even know whether he had his own wife. They didn't tell us about it, whether there were children in the house. But definitely everybody loved Lazarus. He now fell sick. When he was sick, were they not begging him, Lazarus, get better? Did he get better? No. When he died, what's the first thing people do when they die? When people die, what happens? No, not they cry. What's the cry? No, what do they start crying? They start begging the dead man. Please, now Lazarus, don't go. Please, now Lazarus, wake up. Lazarus, I'm calling you. It's me, Mary. I'm calling you. Lazarus, please now. Martha, Martha, Martha will come. Ah, Lazarus. They kept on shouting his name. Did he get up? The host of the community will come. What happened? Lazarus. Oh, Lazarus. Did he get up? That's why I hate being called a motivational speaker. Because when you are dead, you are dead. Nobody can motivate you to get up. When Jesus came, can I ask a question? How many times did he shout his name? In fact, did he shout his name? He said, all this noise also people can hear. Actually, just whispered, Lazarus. As soon as he spoke that name, Lazarus woke up from where he was. He rubbed his eyes. The next thing he heard was, come forth. That word went in there, lifted Lazarus up, and brought him to the door. That's Jesus for you. I know the truth. That's Jesus before he was glorified. Spoke to a dead man, he woke up. He said, comfort. The man was bound hand and foot. So he could not have come walked to the place. So the words of Jesus lifted him and brought him out. He now said, loose that man, let him go. That is Jesus we are dealing with. So please don't give this impression that he's afraid of Islam, he's afraid of anything. The only thing is that, I don't use the word fear, but the only thing he concerns himself with is the state of the body of Christ. How are they behaving? When they don't preach the truth and they don't practice the truth, that's when they go down. That's why I said, you need to pray for your churches. You need to pray for the body of Christ in Nigeria. We need to pray, serious prayer. Say, God, purge this church. Clean this our pulpits. Let anybody who comes there to look for money disappear from there. Close that church. If all they are doing is lying in your name, close them. And read Revelations. He likes to close churches that don't repent. I hope you're getting my point here. So let them have the impression that Islam, you know, it's not our problem. But the nations that are backwards, if they preach the truth and practice the truth in sufficient numbers, they will develop. The curse upon them that keeps them down will be wiped away. Deliverance is in Christ Jesus, it's nowhere else. If anybody wants to deliver anybody, listen to me, they just need to lift Christ Jesus up before them. If you focus on Christ, people say, do you need to go for deliverance? I say, look, if you focus on Jesus Christ, any demon that can stay is born again. Let me tell you let me tell you something, the way demons behave. Demons thrive in darkness. Are you getting my point? Now listen to this. They thrive in darkness. Your heart needs to have a crevice of darkness for them to hide there. In him was life, and the life was what? The light of men. If we focus on Jesus, his life flows into us and illuminates all our dark places. You won't need to tell the demon go. The demon will say, please, where is the way out? Do you know the one that demon will cast you out of his life? That's what happens when we focus on Jesus Christ. The demons will cast themselves out of you. No, they're like, in whatever name, I'm going. They don't need you to pray. You just focus on Christ. Listen, the radiance. No, listen. When Paul, they used to take handkerchiefs from the body of Paul. They will place on the man that's demon possessed. The demon will go. Because the radiance from the body of Paul, when it hits them, they found it hard to stay in that place. The devil didn't need to be told, get out. No. A spiritual substance just came, touched the person. They said, this place is uncomfortable. You get what I'm saying? They just said, look, this place is uncomfortable. Listen, poverty reacts like that too. That is exactly how poverty reacts to. You're not doing well in Nigeria, say I'm running to America. I feel sorry for you. You'll be back in 20 years' time, just as poor as when you left. Not because of now warning. If you're not doing well in Nigeria, pray. By the time you are going to America, make sure it's because you have money to travel. And you have a purpose you want to go and fulfill. What I've said is a matter of fact. Make sure it's because you have money to travel and you have a purpose you want to go and fulfill. If it's like, this my poverty will come to an end. And how will it come to an end? Yeah, I'm going to Canada. That is the height of foolishness for a child of God. It's foolishness. The power of Christ can make you prosper anywhere. And if you don't have it, go anywhere, you still will not prosper. You think there are no poor people in America? You think they don't have poor people there? First time I went to the U.S., we were driving to, you know, one morning, my brother-in-law and I were looking. I said, what? I saw a queue of people. I said, what is that? I was wondering, a long queue of people in the morning. He said, no, that's a mission. What are they doing there? He said, these are homeless, but they have come to do for food. It's free food they are serving. Ah. Is this Nigeria? Free food. He said, these are people that don't have work, they don't have anything. So they've queued up to collect free food in the morning. That's all right. We'll stop in traffic. Of course, I've gotten used to that one. Stop in traffic. People come to your window. In fact, you know, in America, they know they talk. They hang. You know, here, they know, Alabama, Musa, feel me something now. You know, knock. Now, they don't talk. They hang something around their neck. Can I have a dollar? I need to eat. First, they come to your window. I'm not kidding. I don't see Chris Woman for road before. Stark naked, carrying two Ghana must goes. Well, maybe it's not Ghana must go, but two bags. I had to wipe my eyes that this must be a no-go. This is not sick. This is not yours. No, I am not kidding. No. I had to stop. Like, who moved me back home all of a sudden? She was completely naked and walking on the road. I'm like, do they have things like this here? That was those days when I used to think that. I said, hey, oh, thank God my own was just a short program. I'm going back home. So people think, hey, you just get to America, life is easy. Listen to me. That is why many of your friends that went, they have not come home. Who will pay for the ticket? Who will pay for the ticket? You just get up and just pay $1,000 from where? You can't cross the border to solve your poverty problem. You cannot. I know friends and relatives in those countries, their plan is how to get their family back to Nigeria. That's their plan. They're always thinking about how do I do it. So, look, people I've seen who went to the U.S. and they are doing okay. You know the interesting part? They were also doing okay at home. And when you compare them with those they left behind at home, they are still about the same level, just society for society. So you cannot go to America to solve a poverty problem. And please, you young women, I said it yesterday, December is coming now. Don't let one jobless boy come and marry you because you don't understand what is important in life. Any man you can't marry in Nigeria, don't marry him because he came from South Africa. The country you live in does not make you a good husband. I'm telling you the truth. So let's get this in clear. If you want to solve the poverty problem, it's in Christ Jesus for believers. Health problems, they are solved in Christ Jesus. What I want to say is a matter of fact. If you are sick here, chronic illness, whatever, you can have that thing dissolve entirely in weeks. Not because of medicine, not because of any other thing, than every day just say every day, at least twice in the morning and evening, you will spend minimum of 15 minutes thinking about the person of Christ, not what he has done for you now, just thinking about Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Most High Judge over the heavens and the earth. Do that, and then in the evening, just think about, he died for my sins, he died for my sickness. Do that morning and evening. Do that. In weeks, cancer will start shrinking. Blood pressure will go down. Next time you take antihypertensive drug, you will collapse. Diabetes will start. Look, I'm telling you, pancreas will wake up. Eyes that were not seen before will start seeing clearly. That is what Jesus is. Jesus is not, just identity for one religion. His solution. He's a solution. For God so loved the world that he decided to go for his own polio vaccine drive. His own polio vaccine drive is Jesus inoculating everybody. So we are preaching Christ, we are not preaching a religion, we are preaching the solution to all the problems of mankind. The same way people will aggressively push the vaccination with polio, in the same way we are pushing, in quotes now, vaccination with Christ Jesus. Because if anyone is in Christ, all those problems are solved. The problem is that the so-called Christians don't focus enough on who Christ is. Sometimes they have a bit of Christ, they start adding other things to Christ Jesus. Add their own custom. You know, that used to make me laugh. They say we need to protect our culture. I hope you know that. I'm sorry to say. I hope you know it's nonsense talk. It's rubbish talk. We need to learn the culture of Christ. So if it clashes with our culture goes away.